Amid Beis. One second. Okay, 2, 4, 6 lines in the top, the last word. The Gemara was discussing before that Rav Amnuna and Rabba Bar Avuna, and the last story we learned was they were bringing the Teretz Yisrael. They came to a bridge. There was only room for one of them to go first and the other one second. They didn't know which one should go first. The Arab said that Rabba Bar Avuna should go first because he's great and his father's great. And that's what happens. The camel started going first and the Arab's teeth fell out. Okay, that's the story that we learned so far. So now the Gemara says, once they came to Eretz Yisrael, once the coffins of Rav Amnuna and Rabba Bar Avuna came to Eretz Yisrael, the certain youngster, was brought down that there's a famous Yanuka in the Zohar. It says many times Yanuka, and they say it was the son of Rav Amnuna Sava. But anyway, this Yanuka was a very great person. He started eulogizing the two people that passed away. What did he say? Gaza Yeshishim Olam Yivavel, a disciple of sages, ascended from Bavel Teretz Yisrael, Ve'im Sefer Mochamis. And with him is a book of war, which refers to the Torah, which Torah is called Sefer Melchamas Hashem. Kos veKippur Huchbalu. Kos and Kippur have combined. These are two types of birds that come into deserts and desolate places, which means it's a double expression of curse and affliction. They said when these two rabbis died, so it became like curse and affliction. Lideis b'sheid v'shevet abam mishinar, to observe the plunder and the calamity that come from Shinar, which is Bavel. This is a little poetry, that's why I'm going quicker. Hashem became angry at his world, and Hashem snatched souls from them, from the world. But Hashem rejoices with these new souls that he has now in heaven, like a new bride. The one who rides on high, meaning Hashem, Sas v'sameach, is happy and rejoices. B'vayel of nefesh shnaki v'tzadik, when an innocent and righteous soul comes to him. So in other words, this was the eulogy that this young kid made for Rav Amnuna and Rabba Bar Avuna. Basically, he says God was angry at the world. He took away these two great souls, these two great tzaddikim. Hashem is rejoicing in heaven that he has them. Basically, it's the world's loss in Hashem's gain. Then the Gemara says, Kinoch nafshid Ravina, when Ravina passed away, the Gemara says, Pasach aloho savdona, the certain eulogist, and we'll soon see the Gemara, they used to pay eulogists to eulogize them. They actually paid them. So, when Ravina passed away, this eulogizer said the following, Tumarim heinio roish, palm trees, wave your tops, al tzadik hatomor, over the demise of a righteous person, meaning the passing of a righteous person, was like a palm tree. Because we know the pasuk says, tzadik katama yifrach. A tzadik will be like the palm tree. Okay? So it says, palm trees wave your tops on the tzadik who passed away. Nosim leilis kayamim. Let us render our night like days in crying. Almeisim leilis kayamim over a Jew that put day and night in learning Torah. In other words, what did this eulogizer of Ravina say? That he's likened to a palm tree, and we should cry day and night over somebody who studied Torah day and night. So therefore we should cry for them. Now the Gemara tells an interesting story. Amrei Ravashi la Bar Kippuk. Ravashi said to Bar Kippuk. Bar Kippuk was a eulogizer. Okay? He said to him, Ahu Yema Maya Marta. This is the simple meaning of the Gemara. When I die, what are you going to say about me? What are you going to say about me when I die? Amalei, Sir Bar Kippuk said, what I mean, I'm going to say the following. In Ba'arazim, Nafla Shalhevis, if upon cedar trees a flame has fallen, Mayasue Zevikir, what shall the hyssops of the wall do? Meaning, Arazim, the cedar trees, are the big, beautiful trees. Okay? Then you have the low things, the low plants that grow out of a wall that are called hyssops. And he says, if the cedar tree died, what are we going to do? Like, who do we have left? We're a bunch of nothings. Mayasu de geir akak. What should a small fry do? Benachol sheitiv nof lachak. In a rushing stream of dryness descended. Mayasu legavim. What should the water of the stagnated ponds do? Meaning, he said basically. He said, how am I going to eulogize you? You are like the cedar tree, and we are like the nothings. So how are we going to manage without you? Amalei Barabin, so the Barabin said.
Hey, Rabbi, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why do we compare ourselves and nothing compared to a tree? Of course we're...
No, compared to the tzaddik.
Oh, okay.
The tzaddik is likened to the big tree. And we are likened to the small things that grow. So he said, now that the tzaddik passed away, meaning the big tree was cut, so what are the plans going to do? Amalei Barabin. So Barabin, who was another eulogizer, said to the first eulogizer, who was Bar Kippuk, he said to him, Chas v'sholim, God forbid, the chak of a shalheves b'tzaddik amina, that I should ever mention a fishhook or a flame in regard to the righteous. In other words, the first eulogizer, Bar Kippuk, said about Ravashi that when a flame hits the cedar tree, or the hook will grab the big fish, what are the little fish going to do? So he said, why are you using the word flames and hooks for a tzaddik? I would never say that. So what happened? So Bar Kippuk turns to the guy who criticized him and said, Umayya Marta, what would you say when Ravashi passed away? He said, Amina, I would say, Bochul la'aveilim, let's cry for the mourners. V'loy la'aveida, not for the lost object. Meaning, he said, let's not cry for Ravashi. Because Ravashi is in a lofty place now. He passed away from the world. His soul is in a very lofty place. We should cry for the mourners that lost such an object. Shehi le'menuch, because the soul that passed away is at rest. V'anu la'anoch, similar like words, play with words. And we are sighing at the loss of such a great tzaddik. He said, that's what I would say. So what happened? The Gemara continues and says, Cholesh died to Allah. Ravashi felt dejected for these eulogies that they made him. Okay? Now, number one, why did Ravashi feel bad? Number one, he said the first eulogizer was criticized. He said, flame and hooks. He said, what do you call me, a lost article? Why are you calling me a lost article? So Ravashi felt bad that this is the eulogy that they're going to make for him. So what happened? Their feet became inverted. Meaning, the sole of the foot went up. It turned upside down, inside out. So therefore, he says, Ahu Yema, they became so twisted that the soles faced upward, that they couldn't walk, because then the top of their feet, rather than the sole, would touch the ground and they couldn't walk. So they became actually crippled from Ravashi's anger.
Both of them?
Yeah, both of them.
I'm sorry, I really didn't understand that part.
Their feet became turned inside out.
The
physical body. The rabbi said to them, what are you going to eulogize me as? And he didn't like what they were going to say. So he got angry at them, so they were punished. And the Gemara says, Ahu Yema, the day taka when Ravashi passed away, they never came to eulogize him because they couldn't. They couldn't eulogize, they couldn't walk. Behind the Dhamma Ravashi, this is what Ravashi says. Neither Bar Kippuk or Bar Avin are able to do chalitza. Chalitza is if a guy dies without kids, so the brother-in-law either has to marry her or do chalitza. Chalitza, you have to put on a shoe and take it off, and you have to spit, and the whole process that permits this widow to remarry other people. So he said, their feet were so twisted. For chalitza, you need a foot. You need a shoe. He says, Ravashi said, that these two guys are not going to be able to do chalitza because they don't have any normal feet. Then the Gemara continues another story with Bar Avin. Rava ki ava osa le diglas. When Rava came, Rava was once traveling, and he came to the Tigris River, which is a river that was in Bavel, and he wanted to cross it. There were no bridges, there were no boats. He wanted to cross it. Amale le Bar Avin. So Rava said to Bar Avin, "Kum ema milsa, say something of davening, that I should be able to cross the river safely." It seemed to be a very powerful river, and they would have to walk across the river. There were no bridges, no boats, so they'd have to walk across the river. So he said to Bar Avin, obviously he was there with him, he said, "Say a tefillah that I should be able to cross the river safely." So Koiva Omar, so Bar Avin got up and he davened. What did he say? Bo reif shalishim b'mayim. The majority of the third has entered the water, meaning refers to the Jewish nation, because the Jewish nation are called Am Tlisoi, the third, you know, threefold nation, another psukim. So he said like this, the majority of the Jewish people came, because Rava was the greatest sage in his time. So he called Rava the majority of the Jewish people. Bo reif shalishim b'mayim. The majority of the Jewish people came into the water. Yidavan Tashem, Zecher v'rachem, remember and have mercy. To'inu me'acharecho, we have strayed from following you, he says Tashem. Ki'isha mi'bayla, like a wife who strayed away from her husband. Al taznichenu, nevertheless, don't forsake us. Be'es me'mora, in the sign of the bitter waters. So what did Barabin daven? He said, listen, Rav is one of the greatest sages. The majority of the Jewish people has come into the water. God, please, don't desert us. Don't leave us. And that was the tefillah that he said, that he should be able to go across the river. Now the Gemara says like this. The Gemara is going to discuss eulogies that different people made for different people. Rav Chanin Chasnin Devei Nasi Ahava. Rav Chanin was the son-in-law of the Nasi. Nasi was the leader of the Jewish people. He married his daughter. He didn't have any children. This Rav Chanin didn't have any children, but he was the son-in-law of the Nasi. So what happened? So Rav Chanin prayed for himself to have children. And he had a child. But the very day that the child was born, he died. Rav Chanin didn't have any children. He davened Hashem that his wife should become pregnant. She became pregnant. The day the baby was born, he died. So that's what happened. So now they eulogized him like this. Pasach Elohu Saftana, the certain eulogist, said the following thing. Simcha Letuga Nepocha. Gladness was turned to sorrow. Gladness the baby was born, but it was turned to sorrow because the father died. Sasin V'yogin Edbaku. What?
The father died?
The father of the baby died the day the baby was born. Simcha letuga napocha, simcha, gladness was turned to sorrow. Sasim v'yogun nidbok, joy and sadness became attached. Because again, you had the joy and sadness the same day. Be'ei simchasei, at the time of his happiness, nanach he sighed. Be'ei chaninosei, at the time the child was born, ovet chaninei, the favor was lost, meaning the father died. And the Gemara says, Asika lechonen al shmei. What did they name the baby? At the bris, they named the baby the father's name. And this is the source, by the way, that God forbid, if a father dies, either before the baby was born or before the bris, the custom is you name it after the father. They tell a story, there was a famous, I forgot who the story is told about. There's a certain city, in Europe I think it was, many hundreds of years ago, they had a minig that if a baby was born and it came the time of the bris and the father was deathly ill, they waited until the father died and then they named the kid the father's name. And Nudov came to one of the Gedalim, I remember, but it's a long time ago, one of the big tzaddikim became the Rav of the city, and when he heard about this minig, he said, "We're changing the minig. We're going to do the bris first. We're not going to wait till the father dies and then do the bris and name the baby after the father. We're going to name him right away. Do the bris before." So they said, and what happened? They did it, and the father became healthy. The father became healthy.
Because of the simcha.
1 minute, no. So they came to the Rav, and they said, like, how did you know that this is the... He said a very simple thing. Not every person merits to have a malach come to heal him. But Eliyahu HaNavi comes to a bris. Put it down. Eliyahu HaNavi comes to a bris. So maybe Eliyahu HaNavi won't come and heal the guy. Special. But if he's there already, you know, you don't have to pay too much extra to get Eliyahu HaNavi to heal the person. So he said the fact that Eliyahu HaNavi came to the bris, Eliyahu HaNavi healed the father, and therefore he became one. Then the Gemara says like this, Kinoch Nafshid Rabbi Yechanan, when the famous Rabbi Yechanan passed away, Pasach Allah Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elazar, Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elazar started making eulogy. What did he say? He says, Kosh Aleim Yili Yisrael, this day is difficult for the Jewish nation, Ki Yem Bei HaShemesh Batzaharayim, like when the day, when the sun would set in middle of the day. And as it becomes dark in middle of the day, that's what happened when Rabbi Yechanan passed away. Dichsiv, because it says in the Pasuk, it will be on that day when Hashem is angry at the Jewish people. Hashem says, I'm going to bring down the sun in the afternoon. Meaning, and this is a sad time for the Jewish people. Rabbi Yechanan said, what day is the Pasuk referring to? What day is the Pasuk referring to that Hashem is setting the sun in the middle of the day? The day Yeshio HaMelech died. Yeshio HaMelech was one of the great, great Jewish kings that the Gemara praised how righteous he was. So the Pasuk says when Yeshio HaMelech died, the Pasuk like cries over him that the sun set the middle of the day. So that's what Rabbi Yechanan said. So when Rabbi Yechanan passed away, the person that made the hesped, the person that eulogized him, said the same Pasuk concerning Rabbi Yechanan, that the sun set the middle of the day. Another similar incident, Kinach nafshid Rabbi Yechanan, when he passed away, Yosef Rabami Shiva Ushleishim. First the Gemara says Rabbi Yechanan passed away, what the eulogy was. Then the Gemara says Rabbi Yechanan passed away, Rabami, his student, sat Shiva and Shleishim. You know, he had the 7-day period and he kept the 30-day period. Amar Rabba, Breid Rabchia Barabba. He says, Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, he said, Rabbi Ami David, Rabbi Ami who did this, it wasn't because he had to. It wasn't he was obligated to do Shiva and Shleishim for his Rebbe. The God made him do it. He only did it for himself. Meaning it was his own idea. Halachically, he didn't have to do it. Why? The Acham Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, because Rabbi Chiya bar Abba himself says, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Afilu Rabbi Shalim de Chochma. Even when a Rebbe who teaches you wisdom passes away, you only sit one day. Meaning, all the dinim of Avelis applies for one day. And even that, the halacha says, mixa sayem kukuli, part of the day is like the whole day. So he says like this, this that Rav Ami kept Shiva and Shleishim, it was not because he had to, because the halacha is you don't have to. He did it because he wanted to do it. He did it. But halachically, he didn't have to do it.
He had
shidduch? Huh?
Rabbi Yochanan had shidduch at the time.
At the time, why?
I don't know, I'm asking. Why did he sit
seven? Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara, in the
Din Gemara. Lost
10. Okay, he picked up a bone, he said, this is my 10th son that I lost. He lost 10 kids. Did he have any kids afterwards? I don't remember.
Were they all boys?
10 sons, yeah. But it's only is irrelevant if he had kids or not. I mean, because
that's why he sat 7 days.
I don't think so. He just felt like it was because Melamed is ben chaveda teira kilo yelday, so he felt that he was his son, but he didn't have to. Kinach nafshid Rab Zeira, when Rab Zeira passed away. Now Rab Zeira initially lived in Eretz Yisrael. There he was called Rav Zeira. Like we learned already before we discussed, that in Eretz Yisrael they were called Rebbe, with a Yud at the end. In Bavel they were called Rav. So Rav Zeira first lived in Bavel, and then he went to Eretz Yisrael. So it says, Kinoch nafshid Rav Zeira, when Rav Zeira passed away in Eretz Yisrael, Pasach alo Safdana, this eulogist eulogized him by saying, Eretz Shina, Harav Yolada, the land of Shina, like we said, is Bavel. conceived him and bore him, meaning he was born and raised, so to speak, in Bavel. But Eretz Tzvi Gidlo Shashuel, but the Eretz Tzvi, the land of the deer, which is Eretz Yisrael, raised her delights. Ayn Allah, woe is to her, ki of the klecham dasa, that it lost its precious instrument. So now, how did they eulogize Rab Zeira? That he was raised in Bavel, but then he came to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is crying for the loss of its very great person. In fact, he died, to bring down the bottom, Rab Zeira died in Tveri, and that's where he's buried. He's buried in Tveri. No, Rab Zeira. What? That man is also in Tveri, but Tveri is more than one grave. The Rambam is also buried in Tveri.
In the middle of Tveri.
Okay, then it says, Kinoch nafshe, Rababu, when Rababu passed away, Achisa amudah de Kesra Maya, the pillars of Sisera, which is the name of a city, shed water. Meaning, the pillars started seeping water as if to show the pillars were crying from the loss of Rababu. The Rabbi Yesi, when Rabbi Yesi passed away, Shafu Marzavid Tzipura Dama, the gutters of the city of Tzipori spouted blood. In other words, these are symbolic of the fact that he says, what was the uniqueness of Rabbi Yesi, and why that, you know, that they shed blood, why it was blood? Because it says, when Rabbi Yesi lived, the Romans made a decree against Bris Mila. And with a lot of Mesidus Nefesh and self-sacrifice, Rabbi Yesi made sure everybody was doing Bris. So because he was in the blood mitzvah, so to speak, of Bris Mila, so when he died, Hashem gave from heaven that the gutters started giving out blood. The Rabbi Yaakov, when Rabbi Yaakov passed away, is Chamil Kechove B'Yomam. They were able to see stars in the middle of the day. Meaning, normally, sun, during the day when the sun shines, you don't see the stars. But it became such a gloomy day because the tzaddik passed away, they were able to see the stars. The Rabasi, when the Rabasi passed away, Iakru Kol Ilana, all the trees were uprooted. Meaning, a storm came, Rashi explains, and uprooted all the trees of the city. To show about the Hashem's upset with the tzaddik passing away. When Rab Chiya passed away, keeping the Noera Merkia, fiery stones descended from the heaven. The Rab Nachum Rab Yesi, when Rab Nachum Rab Yesi passed away, Ishtao Tzamanayo Vava Malachasayo, the graven images that were on the idols flattened. The Rashi explains like this, when they used to have the coins, in the time of the idol worshippers, they used to put actually graven images of the idols on the coins.
Engraved.
Yeah, but it wasn't indented, it was out.
Oh, okay.
So he says, this Rab Nachum Rab Yesi would never look at a coin. He didn't want to look at idols. So when he died, what happened was all the idols that were on the coins flattened. That they weren't sticking out like all the other times. The Rab Tamchum Bar Chiya, when Rab Tamchum Bar Chiya passed away, is Katzah Sukkah and Raita. All the monuments of the deceased kings were torn, cut down. And again, Rashi explains because they used to worship these idols, these monuments, and then they were destroyed. Rabbi Yashiv, when Rabbi Yashiv, not this one, when Rabbi Yashiv passed away, is Chatru Shivin Machterata Ben Ardoi. 70 burglaries were perpetuated in Ardoi that day. That means Rashi explains, in his chus, so he controlled the people, there were no robberies. The day he died, 70 robberies took place in the city. To show how bad it was.
Oh, a few minutes ago we learned that Hashem is happy when Tzaddik dies because he gains over them.
Yeah, but Hashem's angry at the world because we lost such a Tzaddik. Okay. There's two things. In Gan Eden, they're happy. Down here, the world is punished that they caused the Tzaddikim to die. Because Tzaddikim die in the sins of the generation. So, it's like Hashem is punishing the people at that time.
But destroying
Avodah Zarah
is a good thing.
Yeah, but why did his death cause it to happen? Because he was so against, you know, even looking at coins. So, Rav Amnuna, when Rav Amnuna passed away, Nechisa copied the Bar de Merikia. Hailstones descended from heaven. Okay, also it's caused a lot of damage.
Tamid
Chachom likened to tree. Hayesh ba eitz mayin, eitz chayim he, Tamid Chachom is called a tree. The Rabbi of Rav Yosef, when Rabbi and Rav Yosef passed away, which is interesting, because Rav Yosef died 2.5 years later than Rabbi. So it can't mean here the same day, because they didn't die the same day. So either it means when one of them passed away, or each one happened when each one passed away. The Rabbi of Rav Yosef and Rabbi and Rav Yosef passed away, Nasha kipid the pros hadodi, the supporting arches of the Euphrates River broke, and they touch each other. There was the whole bridge collapsed, and the beams were touching each other. The Abaye and Rava, when Abaye and Rava passed away, Nasha kipid the digla hadodi, the supporting arches over the Tigris broke. Because the difference was partially where they lived. One lived near the Euphrates, and one lived near the Tigris River. Kinach nafshe, the Rav Mesharshu, when the Mesharshu passed away, says, Torn dikle shitze, palm trees produce thorns. Okay, now we're finished with this. No, we're not done with the class.
I'm done with the class.
It's the yard site, or it's the
day they passed. What? Hilulia. Hilulia is a yard site.
It's a yard site. Okay, it's after the first year.
Yeah, but here they're talking when the time they passed away. Okay, now the Gemara, the bottom word on the page. Okay, now the Gemara is going back to the laws of tearing the garments for people that pass away. Okay, so Gemara says Ton Rabbanan, and Rabbanan learned. Now there's a lot of different people you tear garments for, that you rend garments for. Some of them are more serious than others, and therefore the Gemara is going to discuss which ones you're allowed to fix and which ones you're not allowed to fix. Which ones are you allowed to fix temporarily, which ones you're not allowed to fix. Okay, this is a din even today.
Fix what?
The garment. When you tear, God forbid, a garment over a relative that lost, that died, right? So the question is, can you sew it up afterwards or not? So that's what the Gemara is going to talk about now.
I'm sorry, Rabbi, where are you?
Chavav, okay. Top line. Ve'elu kroyin she'misach. These are the garments that you can never fix. Meaning, fix in a proper fashion. An odd stitch, you know, that looks messy, that you could do. After a certain period of time, we'll soon see. But here it says, which ones can you not fit properly? It's calling you. It says, Akeri alavi valime, if somebody tears for over his father or mother, or Rabbi Shalom the Torah, or his Rabbi that taught him Torah, Valnasi, or the leader of the Jewish people who passed away, or Av Bezdin, or the head of the Bezdin, meaning of 71, Val Shmur throws over bad tidings. And the Gemara is going to explain later exactly what this means. Val Birchas Hashem, and God forbid, if somebody heard somebody curse Hashem, that the din is you have to tear your clothing, val sefer teir shenisrav, or a sefer teir that was burnt, God forbid, val ari Yehuda, or over the ruins of the city of Yehuda, meaning like Yerushalayim, or Yerushalayim is separate, but the area around, not Yerushalayim itself, the surrounding area, the din is, the Mishnah says in Brachas, that if you see the land of Eretz Yisrael destroyed,
which will never happen,
well, it's destroyed now. They tear Kri Yerushalayim. The Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. Yerushalayim doesn't have the glory of Kedusha that it used to have. So these things, Yehuda, or over the ruins of the Beis Hamikdash, by Yerushalayim, or if you see the way Yerushalayim, but seeing any of these ruins, the way the city of Yehuda was ruined, Yerushalayim was ruined, the Mikdash, you have to tear your clothing. But these things, all these things that we mentioned, you're not allowed to fix properly. Ever.
How long do you have to wear them for?
Well, we'll see. For certain things, for 7 days, certain things, 1 day. We'll soon see in the Gemara. The Kaire, and then it says, what?
The Nasi and the Rebbe. If the Nasi was, when he was getting in part to that duty, he was all the way until he died?
Yeah.
So he wasn't.
According to Teda, I know in Israel they have today, the chief rabbis are elected for 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why.
But according to Allah, it's not allowed. It's a lifetime position. According to Allah. In fact, the Rebbe even once spoke about it privately to people, that it's against halacha, because wouldn't you're ahead of the bezin until the person dies or incapable of functioning, but there's no way. It's not like political office, yeah, that you're there for 10 years, right, and then you retire.
We learned a couple of weeks ago that someone was disembarked from being the head rabbi because he was halachically wrong.
Because he didn't act, but then they reinstated him. But I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. But not stam, that you're only the rabbi for 10 years. So all these types of things, the halacha is that you have to tear the garments. And then the Gemara says, yein ma'acha. Meaning, ma'acha is to repair it perfectly. That means either making a perfect stitch or actually reweaving the garment. The Mefarshim explained two ways of what this then applies to. So that you're not allowed to do. In other words, you can fix it temporarily after a certain amount of time, but you can't make it a perfect fit. Perfect fixing. And then he says, V'keir al Migdosh, if somebody first saw the Beis HaMikdosh, and he tore over the Beis HaMikdosh, U'meisiv al Yerushalayim, you have to extend the tear when you see Yerushalayim destroyed. In other words, what happens if a guy first came, the Mefarshim explained like this, you can come from the backside of the Beis HaMikdosh, then you don't go through Yerushalayim. Yeah, so then, first you come to the Beis HaMikdosh, then if you keep walking, you're going to come to Yerushalayim. Normally you go first to Yerushalayim, then you come to the Beis HaMikdosh. But if it's possible to come to the Beis HaMikdosh from the opposite side, then you don't go through Yerushalayim. So the Raisa says, what happens if you first see the Beis HaMikdosh? You have to tear your clothing. Now you're going to continue and see Yerushalayim. So the Raisa so far says, you don't have to tear a new tearing, but you have to extend the tear that you tore. You have to make it longer. You don't have to tear another garment, but you have to extend the tear that you tore. Now the Gemara is going to go through each one of these things that we mentioned to show how do you know that you have to tear your clothing for these cases. Like a father and mother dies, a teacher, nasi, how do we know that these things have to be? But then generally the way it works, in fact, even in Pirkei Avos in the first Perek, when you have, the pairs, it was Hillel and Shammai and Shmaya and Naftali and Shem and Shatach and Yudah and Tab, all those pairs, Yosef ben Yezir, Yosef ben Yechon. So the Mefarshim explained that all those pairs mentioned in the Mishnah, the first one was the Nasi and the second one was the Av Bezdin. In other words, the Nasi was the head of the Jewish people, and the second head of the Jewish people was the head of the Bezdin, of the big Bezdin of 71. So he was the 70, the top person.
The position of Nasi was hereditary, right? When he died, his son would take over. Like
if he was fit, right, by like a melech.
So today's position is different. What's wrong with having 10 years chief rabbi of Israel?
No, not about Av Bezdin and Nasi. B'chal, in halacha, a rav is a rav forever. There's no terms to be a rav. It's not a political position. Not because the guy died or kids or whatever. The inyan in a rav, is like even in the cities. Officially, you don't vote in the. I don't think so. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't. The city is a lifetime position, no? When you become rav rashi of a city.
Yeah. I think. Unless there's someone else to.
It's called politics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's
not. So now the Gemara says like this: Avi ve'iber ve'rabbi shlem d'teira minolam. How do we know that, God forbid, if somebody, father, mother, or teacher that teaches you teira, how do we know that you have to tear your garments? The Yosef, it says like this: when Eliyahu Navi was going up to the Shemayim, as everybody knows, Eliyahu Navi just went with a chariot. He went straight up to heaven. So Elisha, his student, was there. And Elisha saw the way Eliyahu HaNavi is going up to heaven, and he screamed like this. For Metzayik, he screamed, Avi, Avi, Father, Father, Rechav Yisrael uperoshav, the chariot of the Eden and the horsemen. And then he saw him no more. Okay? And now what does the Pasuk continue to say? He tore his garment. Okay? So what did Elisha say? Say, Avi, Avi. Okay? Rechav Yisrael Parashav. He said three things. Father, the leader, the chariot of the Jewish people. And then he tore his garment. What is the Gemara learns in the Pasuk? What do we learn from that? As the Gemara is going to prove it and explain the Pasuk. Avi means if your father or mother die. But Rechav Yisrael Parashav refers to a Rav, his Rebbe. And that's why he tore Kriya. My Mashman Gar says, how do you know that Parashah of the chariot of the Jews is your Rebbe? Kermitagam, Rav Yosef, like Rav Yosef said, Rebbe, teacher. The Tavla and the Yisal Bitzleisa was more beneficial to the Yidden through his prayers in wartime, Marsichan of Parashim from chariots and horsemen. Okay? So therefore, you see from this, the fact that Elisha called Elio Avi shows that a Rebbe is like a father. And just you have to tear on the father, you have to tear on a Rebbe. But he said three things in the Pasuk. Avi, Rechav Yisrael Parashav, which means father and mother, and a Jewish leader. So it's interesting, the Gemara is going to ask, why did he tear his garment? Elio never died.
Yeah.
The Gemara is going to ask in a second, a very interesting question. And now the Gemara says like this. We learn now from these psukim that you have to tear your clothing. From where do we learn that you can't fix it? You can't fix the tear properly. Where do we know that when you tear garments you can't fix it? By the way, if you know an interesting thing, all these cases, it doesn't say if, God forbid, if your brother or sister die, or if your child dies, you also have to tear kriya, right? But over there it doesn't say you can't fix it. For brother, sister, child, you're allowed to fix the garment. And that's the halacha, by the way. You can fix it. This Bryce says only the things that you can't, which are bigger calamities, so to speak. Okay, then it says like this. Le'mesachim, how do we know that you can't fix it? Because it says in the Pasuk. By Elisha. He grabbed his garments, and he tore them to two tears. Okay? So the Gemara says, "Mimashma shenemar vayikroim." If it, the pasuk already says he tore it, doesn't that already mean two tears? When you tear a garment, you're tearing it into two. So why does the pasuk have to say he tore it and he tore it into two?
Completely severed.
No. So it says like this: Any adeshalishnaim and malamid. What it teaches us is shekruim va'emdim lishnayim la'ilam. That they remain torn forever. In other words, the extra tearing teaches us, in other words, you can stitch it oddly, but you can't make it a perfect fit again. So from there, the Gemara learns, the fact that the Torah says he tore it, and then it says he tore it into two, teaches us that it was supposed to remain two. Amar Reish Lakish l'Rabbi Yechanan. So Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Yechanan, what do you mean? Why did he tear his garment when Eliyahu Navi died? Eliyahu Chayhu. He's alive. So why does he have to tear his garment? So the Gemara answered, Amalei Rabbi Yechanan said to him, because it says, Le'ra'u Eid, he didn't see him anymore. So therefore, Le'gabi Didei, Kameiz Dami. For him, he died. Meaning like this. As Rashi explains, not Rashi, the Ritva explains, and Farshim explains like this. If somebody would go off to far off land, you don't have to tear kriya, even if you know that you're not going to see him again. If the concept of death is you're not going to see your Rebbe, you're not going to have him anymore, you're not going to learn Torah from him anymore. So even if he goes to a foreign land, especially in the olden times, you know, they went, that was it. So why didn't you tear kriya? Because down deep, there's still a hope you might see him again. That's why you don't have to tear kriya. When somebody dies, there's no hope of seeing him again. Therefore, you have to tear your garment. So that's why it says, as far as Elisha was concerned, as far as he was concerned, he died, the Ritva explains. Because he's never going to see him again, for sure not. He knew Eliyahu Navi is not coming back.
About
Chiyat HaMetim? And Chiyat HaMetim, then nobody should tear anything. But there's a very interesting, not based on this Gemara, but we once... Yeah. We once mentioned, there's a very interesting Shaila in Halacha. Mrs. Eliyahu Navi. Is she allowed to remarry or not?
Was there a Mrs. Eliyahu?
I guess he was married. He had kids.
Did Mosaic one?
It says in the Torah you have to get married. He got married. He's a good religious Jew. The Shaila is like this. Eliyahu Navi's wife. What the Gemara says, Rabbi Shua ben Levi also went alive to Gan Eden, it says in the Gemara Ksubas. So, Mrs. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Mrs. Eliyahu Navi, are they allowed to remarry or not?
We have a witness.
Huh? Did he die or not?
No, he said he didn't die, he just went to heaven.
And it's like he's dead.
So, what's the Shaila? The Shaila is like this. It's very interesting. The halacha discusses it. The shaila. Let me say. The shaila is like this: when the Torah says, "It's enough eishes reyacha," you're not allowed to have relations with your wife's friend, right? So, what does that mean? It means like this: when somebody gives a get, the Gemara says a woman can be permitted to remarry one of two ways: either death of the husband or a get. So get is an active action that allows her, you're doing something to allow her to remarry. Why does death permit, there's two ways of analyzing this. Why does death permit a woman to remarry? So there's two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is the act of dying is what permits her to remarry. Just like the act of a get allows her to remarry. The act of dying is an action that permits her to remarry. That's one way of looking at it. Or another way of looking at it is, the Torah says you cannot live with Eishes Re'acha, with your wife's friend.
Your friend's wife.
With your wife's...
Your friend's
wife. What did I say? Your friend's wife. Okay. You can't live with your friend's wife, but if there's no friend... So now, even if he doesn't die, if there's no friend, so if there's a friend on the other end of the world, there's still a friend. So the shaila, this is the shaila with Mrs. Eliyahu Navi. If what permits a woman to remarry is death, the act of death, he never died. So based on that, she would not be allowed to remarry. If the reason is, and we see from the fact that Elisha tore his garments, shows that he knew he wasn't coming back. So therefore, the fact is, Mrs. Eliyahu Navi could remarry because there's nobody, there's no husband. He can never show up.
And seeing the witness is enough for this case.
If a woman can rely on it to remarry, because then, no, it's what's called Chumash Shachmarta Leo B'Seifa. The Chetutayra allows Eidach HaNamim B'Yisudin. So the Torah says, if a woman wants to rely on the testimony of a kosher witness that she can remarry, he could do it. Why? Because if the husband comes back, then she can't stay married to the guy. She can't marry the husband. She's stuck. No, she's stuck. So a woman is, it's called daya kuminsiba. A woman is not going to get married unless she knows for sure her husband died.
She could certainly rely on Elisha.
I told you, there was once martyred based on two Edom. Two Edom came and testified that a woman's husband died. And based on that, the Nadab Yehuda was martyred the woman to remarry. And one day the husband showed up. So she came to Nadab Yehuda, what to do? The husband's home. And she remarried already. This is the way the story goes. I don't know if it's true. The Nadab Yehuda looked at the guy. It's according to Torah, you're dead. And the guy dropped dead on the spot.
I'm learning.
The guy dropped dead on the spot. Because Torah says, you're dead. Okay, so anyway, no, but you see here, the interesting thing that when the Gemara's question was, why did he tear Kriya Feliyah Navi's alive? He said, listen, as far as Elisha was concerned, he wasn't alive anymore. And therefore he tore. Okay, then the Gemara continues. It said in the Braisa, Nasi Vav Bezdin, if a Nasi and Av Bezdin, or Shmur Sirois, or bad tidings, you also have to tear Kriya, and you can't fix it. So the Gemara says, Minolum, where do we learn that out from? So Gemara says, because it says in the Pasuk, David, this is speak when Yonason and Shaul were killed by the Plishtim. The Plishtim killed Yenison and Shaul. So it says, when David heard about it, Vayachzer David b'begodov. When David grabbed onto his clothing, Vayikroim, and he tore them. Vagam kol anashim asher ite, and all the people that were with David and Malach tore their clothing. Vayispa, Vayivku, Vayitzumad Arev. They mourned, they wept, they fasted until the evening. Al Shaul, Val Yenison b'nei, for Shaul and Yenison his son. Val Am Hashem, Val Beis Yisrael, and the nation of Hashem. And the Beis Yisrael, Shirkinaf Lebacharev, they fell with sword. Because not only were Shaul and Yenison killed, a lot of Jews were killed with the war against the Plishtim. And it says, who was the people? So Shaul was the Nasi. He was the ruler of the nation, or the king. Yenison was the Av Bezdin. Al Am Hashem, Val Beis Yisrael, and the nation of God that died in the calamities and so on, that is considered the Shmur Sroz, the bad tidings. Meaning that the Jews suffered a terrible defeat. So what do you see from this pasuk? That David HaMelech tore Kriya for three things. For the Nasi, Shaul, for Yenison who was Av Bezdin, and for the terrible Shmur Sroz that took place. Amar Leil, Rav Shaba, said to Rav Kahana, 1 minute. How do you know you would tear for each individual one of these three? Maybe only when there's all three together. David HaMelech tore Kriya for three things that happened. The Nasi, Av Bezdin, and the Shmur Sroz. How do you know if each one individually happened, you also have to tear Kriya? So Amalei said to him, because it says, Al Hitzeko Inyan. Because if you look in the pasuk, it says, Al Shaul, Al Yenison, the Al Beis Yisrael. Why does it say Al by each one individually? To teach one, each one individually would demand the tearing of the garment. So now the Gemara says, Omi Karina Shmuris Royce, do you attack and tear garments for bad news? Shmuel was once told, Kotoshvar Malk King Shapur killed Tracer Alpha Yudoi Bemizigas Kesri, that this Persian king, King Shvar Malka, killed 12,000 Jews in the city of Mizgah Caesarea, but he caught and he didn't tear his garment. 12,000 Jews is pretty sad. And yet Shmuel didn't tear his garment. So if you're telling me that for bad news you have to tear garments, why didn't Shmuel tear the garment? So the Gemara answers, Le Amru Ela Berev Tzibur. The only time that it says for bad news you have to tack and tear your garments is when it's the majority of the Yidden. Or Kemaisa Shahoya, like it was by the story of David and Yenison.
The majority of the Jews are suffering, or what do you mean the majority of the Jews?
It's two opinions. Some opinion means the majority of all the Jews. One opinion, the Rishonim says the majority of that city.
Were killed.
Yeah. Lepel, so in Shvur, when Shvur Malka killed those 12,000 Jews, it wasn't the majority of the city. But now the Gemara asks a question. Umi kata Shvur Malka Yodoi? Did Shvur Malka ever kill Jews? Va'amalei Shvur Malka l'Shmuel. Shvar Malka once said to Shmuel, "Tasteily, I'm going to get reward in Gan Eden. The Lekata Yodim Elam, I never killed a Jew." So, how did you say? The Gemara says, 1 minute. How did you say he killed 12,000 Jews when he himself told Shmuel, "I never killed a Jew"? So the Gemara says, "Asim inu garmel nafshayu." Over there, the Jews deserve to die because they caused the rebellion against themselves. Meaning, Damer Ravami says, Lekal Yaseda de Mezigas Kasri. Paka Shura de Lutkaya. Meaning it sounds like this. From the noise of the harp springs of Mezigas Karsia, when the citizens rebelled against Shvar Malka, the Jews started playing the harps, started rejoicing. So he said they brought it upon themselves to get killed. They started up with the king. What Shvar Malka told Shmuel is, listen, I never called a Jew that didn't deserve to die. You know, in the old times they would just kill Jews for no reason. Shvar Malka told Shmuel, listen, I never killed a Jew. So he said, but he did, I mean, but he killed 12,000 Jews. He says, that's not, they brought it upon themselves because they were happy when the people rebelled against the king. So the king got angry at the Jews. But they caused it to happen, not that he himself went and killed Jews.
you tear your garment at the time, right?
Yeah.
The bad thing happened. I'm not
correct. Today again, but the Gemara says basically it has to be a majority of the people.
Wait, for example, today nobody tears for Holocaust.
Today, I mean, why should somebody tear?
That's what I'm saying. At the time,
if people that had the right state of mind, probably would have to tear. Yeah. That's what the Gemara says, and therefore, when he told Shmuel, I never killed a Jew that didn't deserve to die. I just didn't go around killing Jews. And then the Gemara says, "Albirchas Hashem minol." And how do we know that if somebody, God forbid, hears God being cursed, that you have to tear your garments? Because it says in the pasuk, "Vayavi al Yakim and Chilkia, Asher al Abayis al Yakim and Chilkia was in charge of the house of the palace." V'shavna sefer, and the shavna sefer, v'yoyach ben Asif amask al Chizkiyahu, and Yoyach ben Asif, who was the secretary of Chizkiyahu, k'ruy begadim, they came there with rent garments. Okay, what happened was like this. The Gemara will discuss it more, but it says that they came. There was a story over there in Tanakh that somebody, God forbid, cursed God, and it says that these people came to the palace with torn garments. So you see, why did they tear the garments? Because somebody cursed Hashem. You know, there's a very interesting. It's off the topic. But there's a very, very interesting halachic discussion about we just learned before about Shaul and Yonason. The story in Tanakh is that Shaul, the Plishtim were coming, and Shaul was going to get killed. So he told the servant, kill me. I don't want to die in the hands of the Plishtim. Those were like the worst torture for Shaul, that the Plishtim should kill him. So he told the servant, kill me. So the pasuk says the servant said no. So the pasuk says the Shaul took his sword, stuck it on the ground, and he fell over the sword and he killed himself. Basically, it's called the Masada story. I mean, the uprising in Masada. This is a big, big controversy in halacha. And one of the proofs they bring is from Shaul, and some people refute the proof. In halacha, there's a very big controversy. If a Jew knows they're getting killed, are they allowed to commit suicide? Is it suicide or not? So they want to bring a proof from Shaul HaMelech that he did it. And they say from Shaul HaMelech he can't bring a proof. It's a whole different story. But they tell a story in the Poskim, they bring down, that they tell a story that there was once a whole community that Mamish the Goyim were coming in the time of the Eretz Yisrael. They're coming Mamish to kill them. And they asked the Rav the Shail if they could do it, and the Rav said no, they're not allowed to. And something happened, a miracle happened, that the Goyim changed course, and they didn't kill out the city. And they say, you see from there, that if the Rav would have allowed them to kill them, they would have all been dead. There's a whole discussion about this in Halacha, the Masada, you know, were they allowed to do what they did by killing themselves? Are they not? It's a whole very, very big Halacha controversy.
Well, if you believe Mashiach would come in a minute, he would not do it.
No, because, and listen, the pasuk at the beginning of Chumash Shver Dam Adam Dam Yishafech in Bereishis, Ki B'tzalom Lakim Asas Adam. The Gemara learns out that you're not allowed to commit suicide. So over there, the Mefarshim in Teresh Shleim, whatever, safer. But there's a whole discussion about if a person knows they're going to get killed, if they're like an Holocaust or whatever it may be, are they allowed to go kill themselves first? Most opinions, interesting to say, you're not allowed to, from what I remember. But Shaul, they say, did it. The guy says, I don't want a guy to kill me. I don't remember how they explain, to look it up again, I don't remember how they explain that Shaul HaMelech was different. You know, why you can't bring a proof from Shaul HaMelech of what he did to a...
King or leader, Rabbi of
No, it wouldn't be that. Okay, here. Yeah.